Well, we've got testimonies coming up in a little moment. Just wanted to say a few things before that starts. Last week, we had our guest speaker, Leanne, come, and she spoke to us about sexuality and identity. Huge subject. So, of course, there was so much that didn't get talked about. But I think one of the take-home messages that we just wanted to reiterate was from what Leanne was saying, that we can have confidence in having a biblical view about what's happening in our culture. And we can have it with a confidence that isn't arrogant, but is loving. And at the end of the day, we aren't here in judgment of others outside of the church, but we are called to be like Jesus, aren't we, who came to bring life and not condemnation, but to speak words of life, of grace, and of truth. And if you do want to know more about what was being shared, Canavox is a great resource. They kind of run little book clubs type thing to discuss through things, because there's a lot to know about. But it's good to, for all of us, if you're not feeling confident in what you believe or you know, having or holding a biblical view on sexuality and identity, you know, there are resources. So go seek those out, because it's important that we're confident in just being able to stand in grace and goodness that we can in God. Okay, just a few other things. Just the next slide, please. Testimonies, yay. And followed by a dinner again today. So please stick around to share food with us and to continue chatting and connecting as well. And so to kick us off today, we have Claire. That's great. Give her a warm welcome. It's always exciting to hear what God's doing in people's lives. I'll let you go for it, Claire.
Oh, thank you. Hi, everyone. Oh, that was a warm welcome. You followed Maria's instruction. I just wanted to tell a little story about something that happened last year. So it's a bit of an old story, sorry, but it's when I was at Cape and Ray, which is a Bible school in New South Wales, and I was there for a good chunk of last year. And there was just, you know, this is just an example of a time where I was there where I could really point to God's involvement in my life. So I was there at Cape and Ray, and for a bit of backstory, when I was in high school, I had these two really good friends, and at the end of high school, those friendships didn't really go super well and didn't really continue out of high school. And that was quite sad for me, especially at a transition time where you're leaving high school and going into, you know, post-high school life. And that was something that was, you know, sort of a negative during that time of my life. I had, you know, decided to forgive them and had been, you know, praying, trying to work it out with God and being like, okay, I forgive these people and trying to move on in peace and everything. And, you know, I had done that, but this all links back into my story. So when I was at Cape and Ray, we had this thing called principal's period on a Friday where we would go and we'd have some sort of task to do from our principal. And on this particular day, I just had one of these friends in my mind in the morning. No particular reason, they were just in my mind, I was thinking about them. And then when we went into principal's period that day, the principal said, I want you to reach out to someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time. And, you know, I could have kind of interpreted that anyway, but because this person had just been on my mind all that morning, I was like, this is a stitch up. And this is, I know that God has, like, I'm pretty sure God has put this person in my mind ready for this class where the principal has just said, reach out to someone that you haven't spoken to in a while. So I was kind of like, okay, I haven't spoken to them in a while. This is the point of that. But I sent them a message and, you know, they responded positively, and we ended up catching up when I was back in Adelaide for a brief little visit last year. And it was really nice. We got to catch up and have a good conversation. And at the end of the conversation, I just said, hey, I'm sorry for, you know, my part and how our friendship went down and everything. And it was just a nice little bit of closure. So that was good. And I went back to Cape and Ray with a different term, a whole different bunch of students. And I think we had a little time for sharing testimonies or something there. And I shared that testimony to that group of students, and that was really cool. But it must have inspired the principal to do it again. because later that term, with a whole different bunch of students except me, I had the other friend pop up in my mind that morning, and I didn't notice it was Friday. I wasn't thinking. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, this person, they're in my mind, and I was just thinking about it. Then I get to principal's period, and the principal said, I want you all to contact someone you haven't spoken to in a while. And I thought, no, stitch up times two, you know. And I thought, no, God, I can't. The other one, yeah, I could kind of message them, and it's, you know, it's a bit more chill. And I was like, God, I can't message this person. This is not, it would be so weird. They would be like, what are you doing? Like, this is so strange. But I could really tell, especially after what happened the term before and how that had had a good conclusion. I was like, man, like, I know I've got to do this, but I do not want to. And I was telling the other students about it. I was like, guys, I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And we had our prayer groups and everything, so they prayed for me. And it kind of just comes down to the fact of, like, do I think God is involved in this? Yes. Okay, because I've got to do it. So I sent this person a message. And they answered and they were like, you know, it's all good, don't worry, it was high school. And, you know, and I was like, cool. And they said to me, like, just why did you message me? And I was like, sure, answer is like God and Bible school. But yeah, you know, hope you're doing well and everything. And it was good. So it was this thing of, even though I had forgiven them and you know, been moving on with my life, I was kind of curious. I was thinking, you know, I went to Cape and Ray, it's like a different state, it's all different people. I wasn't expecting to, like, deal with some random high school stuff here. Like, it's not really what I was expecting. But I suppose I was telling someone else about it and was sort of, God's like, well, while you're listening, you know, while you're here, let's deal with this too. So, yeah, it was something that I was like, oh, that's quite interesting. Out of anything, God wanted to bring those two people to mind. And he did it in a way where I can sometimes be like, oh, I don't really know if God's talking to me. But in that sense, I was kind of like, God made it very clear. It was like very like a pattern where it was like, okay, I can see that this is, you know, too much of a coincidence kind of to just be me. And yeah, I was kind of thinking, why would God, you know, want to do that? But I was just kind of thinking, I think God cares about unity. I think it in the church as well, because I think when you have important relationships kind of break down, it can affect the way that you see church and things as well. And maybe God just thought, you know, this is still a problem, or this is something that I just want to sort out. So yeah, 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. So I think God cares about us being in unity. And yeah, it just stood out to me significant that that was something that God was like, I want you to do this. I want you to talk to these people and have some closure. And maybe they needed it too. Maybe it was something that, you know, on both ends, it was like, now we can just be more chill. So, yeah. Yeah. I can. Yeah. Sure. Okay. Dear God, thank you for today, and thank you that we can all come and share some stories about how you've been working in our lives. I just pray for unity in your church, that you'll continue working as you have been in my life, in other people's lives too, to sort of bring about that peace and that unity amongst us, God, so that the world will know that we're your disciples by the way that we love one another. And I just pray for everyone to have peace about that, and yeah, that we can pursue unity as your body, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to finish by giving anyone the opportunity that if there's, you know, someone that you want to reach out to from your past, I'm not the principal, you don't have to. This isn't like a, you have to do it. I think for me, I wouldn't have done it if it wasn't like, you know, anyway, I thought it was from God, so I had to do it. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to give that opportunity to you guys as well, if, you know, you might want to reach out to someone that you haven't spoken to in a while. Thanks.
Actually, stay there, Claire. Can we pray for you too?
Oh, sure.
Because that was a really beautiful story. But I feel like there's like a seed of something there. Like it's not just for you, for them, mm-hmm. but there's a seed of something. So let's pray for Claire. So Father, I just thank you for the work that you've done in Claire's life, for the unity that you've brought, and for the freedom from the past. And Jesus, you also said, blessed are the peacemakers. So as Claire has experienced peace between her and old friends, Lord, would you empower her by your Spirit to help others find that same peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah. So similarly, I want to share a little bit about how I've been working with and through God in my workspace as well. Some successes and where I've seen God's favour in my life and through my work at the moment. I've been in a bit of a state of just gratefulness in the past couple of months for what I've been able to do with God recently, to the point of tears sometimes. It's been really lovely. And so I wanted to share that with you because a lot of you have been on that journey with me as well. For those who don't know, I work as a freelance filmmaker and I've developed and facilitate filmmaking workshops for teenagers and have been doing so since 2019-ish with the city of Marion and a little bit beyond. And I've just come out of one of my longer-term workshops where I spend once a week for about 3 months or so with a group of young people teaching them how to make movies and to create their own short film together as a team. But more importantly than just those technical skills, it's really about creating a space for often left out and different and a lot of the time neurodivergent kids to feel valued and acknowledged and make important connections with other peers. And this year, we also finished with our own really special awards night, a bit of a film festival night where we dressed up and walked the red carpet. It was really lovely. So despite this being in a like circular setting, the journey of these workshops has, like, I've been doing my part and God's been doing his part. It's very much been involved in prayer, God's timing and favour the whole way. I could have just made this a technical skill learning workshop, but that's not how I roll and not how God's made me. And so I put my heart and soul into these things and prayer and trust in God into these things, which can feel like a risk. But I've found I'm on the other side of a lot of this, and I've found that God really honours that when you do put your all into it, and it's opened up so much. Which includes every grant that I've written in the city of Marion, I have received, and that has opened up more connections with the Marion Council and Onkaparinka Council now, and the libraries, and it's recently snowballed to allow lots more of this sort of thing to happen, which I'm really, really grateful for. Which has also opened up other workshops. At the moment, I'm doing one in the library called Words Within Us, which is an intergenerational storytelling program. And through that space, we're sharing our own personal stories, and I've been able to share about my faith in that group with these people, with these young people and these older people. And really, we've connected on faith. Like, there's been other people who've had a strong faith in that group as well, and others who are on a faith journey. And it's been a really interesting discussion group at times, and just sharing our stories together, which is an awesome thing that's opened up. Throughout these workshops that I've done, I've also had a team of peers, people similar to age in me and slightly younger, that have helped in the facilitation, who have even accidentally have all been Christian filmmakers with youth leading experience. And so we have covered the workshop in prayer. We've been praying for the kids every time we do these workshops and being really invested in their lives. Which is a step different than if you were just to run a workshop where you see kids once a week. We were really, really involved in their lives. So we see these kids through a Jesus lens. And we've had an overwhelmingly positive response from the kids and their parents about the benefit of this program too. Just a few like individual stories. I won't take up too much time, but there's a few that stand out to me as highlights of individual lives being impacted. In my long-term workshop that I did in 2021, our youngest student was 12 years old and an extremely avid writer. That's what she loved to do. She's autistic and writing was her thing. And I heard from her mum that she had trouble fitting in and had been made fun of for her interests because she was so into it. And so with that interest, I gave her the task to write our screenplay with me a little bit. And although she was nervous for the class to read it, we sat down and we did a table read and they absolutely loved it. And she got to see her writing acknowledged by her peers and also then taken all the way through to a final short film so she can see it visually. But not only that, we entered this film into a youth film festival on the East Coast and it actually won Best Script at that film festival. And so now, not only that, she is now an award-winning writer. which is awesome. And that acknowledgement of her skills and how God's made her. This year's workshop had an overwhelmingly positive response as well. I had a parent let me know that her son was homeschooled and had real difficulty fitting in. And by the end of the program, she was extremely grateful to us and said that this was the first time that her son had ever made friends. And this was the place with other people who also enjoy what he enjoys. And he and other students from the program are now taking their own initiative and making films together in their own time, which is really lovely to see. It's not just within the program, but it goes on beyond, which is what I've been praying for these kids. We had one student work through a stutter and flourish. I've had young people say, I've found other people like me, or that a workshop was a safe haven during a hard time of bullying at school. Some came just to try something new and then discovered that this is what they want to do with their lives, is make movies. And then some of these kids I've kept in contact with and or mentored for even 4 years now. And so as slowly as I build longer connections with some of these kids, we have God chats, and a lot of them know that I'm a Christian as well, and a lot have been a part of the Christian film series that I produced earlier this year, XP, which can create other conversation starters further on about the kingdom of God and their place in the world as well. And so, yeah, when I began running these workshops, I would feel so anxious before each one. I even got prayer on one of our church camps for it, because before every one, I would get so nervous, even to the point of feeling sick sometimes. I felt like I was making everything up as I was going along. I was very much, you know, riding by the seat of my pants. And I never really was quite sure how to make things work. And I'm not a teacher in the formal sense, but at the start of this, I barely knew how to write an invoice, to be honest. But I was pretty worried and insecure. But with the first few years under my belt, and also having been grown and stretched by producing XP earlier this year, which some of you will know about, and the whole way feeling very strongly that this is where God was leading me to go, this last workshop series, I glided through and had none of that anxiety that I did previously, like noticeably so. And so I just rode the waves that God put in front of me, not striving for these opportunities to come, but taking the ones that God just put in front of me. And through that, I've grown in ability and confidence to take on more. And even more than that, I'm blessed that through that it's blessing others and it's having those ripple effects. And so thank you for your prayers as well, for those who have prayed for my different programs or things that I've been doing, because, yeah, you've sowed into that and into me and into them through that. So thank you very much, church family, and, yeah.
It's a great testimony. Holly, I'd love to just pray with you and for all that's happening and to happen more with her working with all these young people. Yeah, so we thank you, Lord, for Holly. We thank you for the amazing way that you have wired her. And we thank you that she loves you. And she wants to see you glorified in all that you call her into. Lord, we do give you great thanks and honour for her testimony today, Lord, of how as she keeps stepping out to trust you, she can see you changing her from the inside out, but gloriously using her to bless these young ones, Lord. And how awesome is that, Lord? We just say yes and amen for more of that. Lord, would you keep giving Holly more strategies of how to connect and intersect with the lives of those that come into these workshops and beyond, Lord. And we pray that their precious lives, Lord, would turn around and turn to you, ultimately, Jesus. So, Lord, just continue to, lead Holly in all that she does, that many would come to know you. And we give you amazing thanks for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. What a great testimony.
That was great. I just want to quickly share, because one of the things being called to this fellowship to pastor was this thing that which I thought it was too big when I first thought God gives me that. But Holly is a clear example of a spiritual influencer in the community. you know, on the social media, you see a lot of influencer, but God is raising up spiritual influencer, you know, and God has allowed Maria and I to be part of lots of influencers in the community. I've said it many times, we need to be in the world to win it. And there are many people who are willing to stand up and be out there and doing it. The church doesn't need more Christian. You need to hear me correctly. The world needs more Christian. Our job is out there. Here we come, cheer, you know, time out, refresh, but our real work is out there. And it's so grateful that we get to partner Rehab, and Mim's gonna share, and I just love it when young people capture it, that they got a part to play in the world, and to be a spiritual influencer, to give shout to God. Mim, you wanna come and share?
Yeah, thanks for having me at your church. It's been a blessing the time before that the team came and this time as well. It's been good. Can you hear me all right? Sweet. Cool. Yeah, so I was asked just to share just some stories from Rehab, but I thought I should tell you a little bit about myself just quickly and how I got into doing the Rehab ministry. Yeah, so I think when I was about 18, we actually had a woman from Rehab come, and she was on a camp, and she told us about the ministry and what they do. And I think she prayed for me as well. And at that time, I was just so, like, inspired by the work and just had such a heart for these women. And I felt really clearly called to working with these women. So nervous. Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Yeah, and actually at the time I had a severe depression, so I was really like depressed, like I was like hardly functioning. And I remember before that camp, just like praying like God, like I can't do this in my own strength, but like I want to see you work through me. And yeah, he showed me that, you know, that whole thing about Paul, he's like prayed to take the thorns from his flesh 3 times, and then God said, like, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And yeah, God was speaking that to me, and then I heard this call to working with these women that are in the sex industry. And yeah, just from that point I was really had that deep inside my heart. But yeah, then I went through more of that depression, and it continued for a long time. It was really not a nice experience. And one point I just decided not to go to church anymore because it was too hard. You know, people don't always understand when you're going through a lot of suffering. And that was challenging. And then I eventually was like, even to God, I was like, God, it's too hard to hope in you anymore. And I told him that. Even though I loved him deep down, it's just so painful when you're in pain. And yeah, and he kind of let me go for a while, just like, I just lived very destructively and just wanted to ruin my life, basically. Like, it was very, like, demonic in a lot of ways. Yeah, but he didn't give up on me, and he spoke to me really clearly. I was traveling overseas at the time, and he said, like, Mim, there's two pathways, and, yeah, one pathway leads to, like, death and destruction, and this other pathway leads to life, and that's me. Like, you gotta kind of come to me and let me heal you, and just like repent, you know, from all your sin and stuff. Yeah, and he really like renewed my life. Anyway, so that's a bit of the backstory, and then came back to Australia after like a year, and he slowly healed me over like 3 years or so. And then Rehab popped up again, and I was like, I still just have this calling and just really want to be with these women. I don't know why, but yeah, and then so I joined, also got married to Wes in between, which is a real blessing from the Lord. But yeah, I joined Rehab, and before that, I actually found out that my grandma was a prostitute, so my mum was born through the industry. Like, my grandpa was a client. And, so that just showed me how, like, because of what Jesus did on that cross to defeat the power of sin and death and darkness, like, he can redeem, like, the most, I don't know, lowly, messy things and be glorified through it. And, yeah, so every time I've been going out on these outreaches and now I'm leading the Southern Outreach, it just blesses me so deeply at how God works and how he just redeems that stuff that's painful and messy and how he's glorified in it. And just quickly before I finish, the last story was we were on, it was actually the Central Outreach, so near the city, and we went into one of the Australian places with Aussie women. And this is normally a place where they have big barriers, like they don't want to tell you the truth. Like, they want to tell you, I love what I'm doing and all that kind of thing. But you know that they're struggling and they're really trapped. But this time I actually prayed, like, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And it talks about, yeah, he didn't come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. And also talks about, like, that people won't be afraid to come into the light for fear that their sins would be exposed. And I pray that over this outreach. And I was like, God, I want them to not be afraid to come into the light and not be ashamed, like, of, you know, what they're doing. And, yeah, so I prayed that. And then we went into this place and it was crazy. Like, it's four women. They came outside. They all stood there while there's guys walking in and out. And, yeah, it was crazy. We both, well, like, I shared my testimony about my story and then my grandma. And they were just, like, in the light, soaking it up and just, like, wanting more. And it just, like, blessed me. Like, I just bawled my eyes out in the car after, because it's just so beautiful how, like, he works because of the cross. Like, you know what Jesus did? He's in the ministry of drawing people to himself, no matter, like, where they come from. And then, anyway, as we were driving away, the car in front of us, the number plate was, like, JHN316. And I was just, like, a mess. I was like, oh, God, you work in amazing ways. But, yeah, so, anyway, that's just a bit of encouragement. But, yeah, just bless you guys and the ways that I know he called you all, like, you all have a story. And he wants to use you and, yeah, redeem the parts of your lives that feel broken. He wants to use them to, yeah, glorify himself. So, thanks.
Wes, can I call you up? Would you like to stand here because both of you are so tall? I'm going to call Pastor Vincent to come and help me pray for you guys. Pastor Vincent also know Paulette and know about the ministry and also has reached out to, a lot of people trapped in those kind of industry. Marie, you want to come and kind of lay hands? I just want to bless you guys. Part of the blessing is the way we do it is to impart something in your journey. So hopefully you allow us to do that. It's, you know, there's nothing, sorry, I don't want to use the word, but there's no magic in it, but it's actually a very spiritual principle that we impart something. It's from Romans 1, 10, 11, all right, imparting something. And it's got to do with the anointing so that it can go forth. So there's a couple of scripture, then I'll get Vincent to pray, and then I'll close in prayer. So Isaiah 61 is the big one, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit on Jesus to preach the good news, you know, bring release to the captives, open blind eyes, to bind brokenhearted. There's also another scripture in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, that talk about God, the Father of all comfort. He's the one that comforts you. And with the comfort that you've been comforted in your affliction, that you will comfort others. So God's not going to waste your depression, your suffering, and all that, because it's in that the richness comes. Vincent, you want to pray?
Let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you because we live in your marvelous grace. Father, we sometimes live in this country of blessing and forgot about the sufferings of other people, people who are trapped in bondage. Forgive us. Father, I just want to pray for my brothers and sisters who have stepped out in faith to go and reach to the people who are in bondage, as you have commissioned, as Pastor Toh have shared. We not only love this couple, but also we go out with them, giving our blessing, and for things we can't do, they do it for your kingdom. So, Father, we just pray for your blessing, your power, your wisdom, and your very presence in their life, so as they share, that the Holy Spirit will speak through them to the women who are in bondage. I just pray that, Lord, your spirit of liberty, the truth, the spirit of truth, when you speak to them, you'll free them from the inside as you free them. Father, I just want to continue to ask that, Lord, give us the burden not to be complacent or lazy, but the fear of God, to know of your magnificence and your beauty, that we can live in your grace each day and reach out even though we are hurt, even though when we are sinners, we can do your work, and what a marvelous thing it is and what amazing grace. So, Father, we just pray that your continuous presence be with them. Give them all the grace and strength that they need to reach out to them with the gospel of truth, of love, and forgiveness. That, Lord, may your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. That's good. Bless you guys. Angus. Let's worship God. That's good stories. You know, just tap into it, because part of testimony is God saying, or through us, we're saying God can do it again. You know, tap into holy success. You know, Claire's sort of reminder to reconcile the unity and the financial freedom. And, you know, meme, it's tough to be depressed, you know, and to get through and saying, nah, I'm not going to stay down, I'm going to reach out. So let's worship God.
I invite you all to stand.